Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Nun Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Nun Hey. In our previous discussion, we're mentioning the sprinkling of the blood of the Yom Kippur Korbonos in the Holy of Holies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Tanaic source that we saw at the top of Nun Hey referred to the blood sprinklings done opposite the Holy Ark, the Aron HaKodesh, and the top of the Holy Ark was called the Kapores, and we were taught in the source that the blood sprinklings were done in the direction of the Kapores, opposite its thickness. In fact, it was a tefach thick, but the blood was not expected to land on the Holy Ark itself. The point here is, in light of the fact that the Pasuk says, and you could see we've written the Pasuk on the side, Vayikra Perek Tezayin Pasuk Yudalid, it says, Vaylokach Midam HaPar V'hizo Betzbo Al Pnei HaKapores Kedmo V'lifnei HaKapores Yazeh Sheva Pa'amim. So it makes a reference to a sprinkling Al Pnei HaKapores, which would, if you translate it literally, it would be on the top of the golden cover. So that is not what our Gemara is telling us. Don't understand that literally. Now, as we turn to our Gemara, before we learn the actual text, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, a nosei, where we've written Minayin Shehazois Hadam Delamala B'Kodesh HaKadoshim Einom Al HaKaporas Mamash. From where do we know this point? In other words, you've got the pasuk that says on top, and we in the oral law, in the oral tradition, are coming to tell you not literally on top. So how do you know that? And that's the issue we deal with now. So we turn to the Gemara Minohani Mili. From where do we know that, as the source said, it's not on top of the Kapores, but rather opposite or in the direction of the Kapores? Omar Rav Acho Bar Yankiv, Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Kro. So they cite the Pasuk, V'hizo oisoi al hakapores v'lifnei hakapores. This pasuk is Vayikra Tezayin pasuk Tezvov, and we have this on the side of the Gemara as well. We have the entire pasuk written out, so let's read it together just to get a flavor of things. It says V'shocher es soyer hachatos, the goat sin offering asher la'om, that's brought on behalf of the population, is that animal is slaughtered. Vehevi is domoy el mibeis laporoches. Its blood is brought into the inner chamber. Ve'osa is domoy kasher osa ledam apar, and it is treated as the blood of the cow was treated, which was done previously. Vehiza oisoy al hakapores velifnei hakapores, and again, it says that the sprinkling is done on the Kapores and in front of the Kapores. The Kapores is the covering of the ark. Now, this pasuk mentions that the blood of the goat is treated as the blood of the cow. In the pasuk concerning the blood of the cow, it was already spelled out that the sprinkling is to be done on top and in front of. So this seems to be somewhat repetitious. Once you tell me that the osa es doime kasha osa the dam hapar, that you do the soyer, the goat offering, like the cow offering, why do you have to say again the hiza oisoy ala kaporis with na kaporis? That was already stated explicitly in the case of the cow offering, the cow blood sprinkling. So we turn to the Gemara. Lo Yoimar, Lemata besoyer, the lot sorach, the gomar mimata de par. In Pasuk Tesvov, there would appear to be no purpose in telling me Lemata besoyer. The Lemata besoyer is a reference to the phrase velifnei hakapores. In other words, the translation Lemata besoyer means the lower blood sprinklings of the goat offering. The first blood sprinkling, al hakapores, that's on top, and then lifnei is in front of. So on top would be lemalo, that's on top, that's high, and then lemato is the lower blood sprinklings. So you don't have to spell out in Pasuk Tesvov the lifnei hakapores. That is learned, as the Gemara says, the gomar, it's learned. Gomar means learned mimata de par. It's learned from the fact that in the previous Pasuk, in Pasuk Yudalid, there was a lifnei hakapores blood sprinkling, as we said, by the cow. And in Pasuk Tesvav, it says, and you do the goat as you do the cow. So why do you have to say again, in the case of the goat, that you do it v'lifnei hakapores? So loma ne'emar, why does it say that? So that we answer, la'kushi, to compare. La'kushi means, from the Loshon Hekish, to compare, al l'lifnei, to compare the concept of a blood sprinkling on top to the blood sprinkling in front of. Ma lifnei delav al, just like the word lifnei, in front of, implies on the ground in front of, and not physically on the ark. Af al delav al. So too, the al, the reference to on top of, is not literally on top of. Just to repeat that, just like in front of, it's not actually touching, so too the on top of is likewise not literally touching. So if the original question was, from where do we know that al hakaporos means it's not literally on top of, it is derived from the fact that the on top of is compared to in front of. And just like in front of means not touching, so too on top of means not touching. The Gemara asks, Adarabba, you can argue in the opposite direction. Lo yomar lemalo bepar deloy tzorech. In the par posuk, in posuk yudalid, reference was made to al pnei hakaporos. You know what? You don't need to spell that out in posuk yudalid. De gomar mima'alo de soyer. The on top of, in the case of the cow, can be derived from the on top of, in the case of the soyer. In the soyer, the posuk said, v'hiza oisoi al hakapores. And by the way, the word oisoi means a singular sprinkling in the upper, on the upward, or in the on the top of direction. So the idea of a blood sprinkling on the lemala, the upper or the on top of, in the case of the par, could have been derived from the fact that the goat and the par are compared to one another. So leave out all references to the on top of in the case of the cow, and let me derive that there is an on top of sprinkling from the case of the goat. Loma ne'emar, so why was the on top of in the case of the cow spelled out explicitly? I could argue la'kushi lifnei le'al, to make a comparison of lifnei, in front of, to the idea of on top of. Ma al erl mamish, I could argue that al means on top, literally on top of. Af lifnei equals al mamish. So too, when we say in front of the ark, it means on the front face of the ark, literally touching the ark. In other words, the blood splattering would hit the face, the side of the ark. So once you're saying that the extra phrases in the psukim are for this hekish purpose, why do you insist on going in one direction, namely comparing the al to the lifnei, and not doing the opposite and say, I'll compare the lifnei to the al? the way we want to go at the answer of the Gemara before this question, we were saying that just like lifnei is not literal, it implies on the ground, so to the al, on top of, is not literal. And the question we're asking, why not say the opposite? Just like al implies literally on top of, lifnei means literally hitting the side of the aron and not landing on the floor. The Gemara answers, hi, my. This is a response, and the response itself takes a number of lines to develop. Hi, my. This is an expression that introduces the answer. In other words, how is it that you are comparing one to the other? E amris bishlamo, if you take the approach, like we did in our initial answer, Lemata de Sawyer Lakushi, the Torah in spelling out that which seemed to be superfluous, namely the Lifnei Hakaporas in Posuk Tezvov, though it didn't need to be stated in it for itself, because I would have known that there is a lower blood sprinkling from the fact the goat is compared to the par, why is it spelled out? It's Lakushi, to compare the idea of compare the ul to the Lifnei. That having been said, lemala de par, the lemala de par that was the subject of the question, I have another purpose for that. The lemala de par, which you thought was lo tzorich and it's there for a hekish, no. The lemala de par in pasuk yedalid miboyale lichadetona debe Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it has another role. That phrase of al hakaporas in pasuk yudalid is for the Reb Elazar ben Yaakov teaching. The Tana de Bei Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, he has a Tanaic source that says as follows, Al Penei HaKaporas Kedma. Now, this is a quote from our Pasuk Yud Dalin. We've dashed underlined the key words. Ze Bono Av. This sets a rule. Kol Mokom Shenemar Penei, when the Torah uses the word Penei, Eino Elo Kodim. It's a reference to east. So Al Pnei HaKaporas Kedma is a reference, means the word Pnei then is taken to mean east, and therefore in other places in the Torah where the word Pnei appears without Kedma, it means Kedma, it means east. So as far as the Al HaKaporas in Pasuk Yudalid, that has this separate role. And therefore, we will go back to what we said initially, that the Lifnei HaKaporas is there to teach the Hekish in the other direction, that just like Lifnei means not literally touching, so too the Al means not literally touching. Ela, e amris, lemala de par la kushi, if you are going to, however, insist on what we said in the question, that the lemala de par, that would be al hakaporas and posuk yud dalid, was for the hekish purpose, to get me to conclude that the touching is quite literal, then lemata de soir lemai also, what purpose is the appearance of Lamata de Sawyer, the in Pasuk Tezvov, Lifnei HaKaporas, what purpose is there in the Torah spelling that out? As far as to tell me that there are lower blood sprinklings in the case of the Sawyer, that I would have known anyway from the fact that it says in Pasuk Tezvov, you shall do the goat like you did the cow. And in the case of the cow, there already is a reference to Lamata. Therefore, since if we pursue the approach to the psukim as we did in the question form, we would then be left with the lamata de soyer as being unaccounted for. Therefore, we remain with the original approach that the al is compared to lifnei, and just like lifnei is not literal, so too al on top of is also not literal. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a note that, to look at the side, we have a chart. There's a double star, and you can see this on the side. The chart is entitled Mekoros Shel Matnas Dam Apar V'Asoyer Lamala Ulamata. There are sources for the blood applications, the above and the below, in the case of the cow and the goat. Now, we're essentially continuing the discussion we had just now, talking about the same blood applications. And on the chart itself, you can see, the two columns are headed Mefurash and Nilmad. Mefurash means something that's explicit. Nilmad means something that's derived. And down the side, you see Par and Sawyer. So you can see there are four boxes. Both of this Par and the Sawyer have Lamala applications. And both the Par and the Sawyer have Lamata applications. As far as numbers of sprinklings that are done, we will see very shortly that as far as the Par, the lower is spelled out, and in the case of the Sawyer, it's the upper that is spelled out as far as numbers of sprinklings. And I have to derive, in the case of the cow, I need to derive how many sprinklings are done Lamala. On the upper sprinkling, how many? And in the case of the goat, I have to derive how many are done lamata, the lower sprinklings. If you take advantage of everything we've included on our page, in our Gemara markings, Shas Ozer page, in the opposite margin where we have the psukim that we referred to earlier, there's a very helpful note that you'll find to the side of each pasuk. In the case of Pasuk Yud Dalid that featured the par, on the side it says par mefurosh lamata. That means the lower, and it actually seven sprinklings are spelled out, and we have it dashed underlined in the pasuk. You could see ulefnei kaporos yaze sheva peomim. I hope everyone is following and you're noticing where we have this on the side of the Gemara, because one finger on the side and one finger in the Gemara will make this sukkah much more manageable. The second pasuk, namely pasuk tes vav, on the side of that pasuk we wrote soir mefurash lamala. The upper sprinkling number is spelled out. Now, it's not spelled out in a number form, but we alluded to this earlier. In the pasuk itself, you can see we dashed, underlined, V'hiza oisoi al hakabars. Now, al means on the upper one. Literally, it was on top of the kabars, and we said it doesn't mean literally on top, but it's a reference to the upper one. How many blood sprinklings are done? So, grammatically, the number is revealed. It says, V'hiza oisoi. The word oisoi means it in the singular. One upper. And as far as how many lower blood sprinklings are done in the case of the goat, well, if you look in the pasuk, you don't see. All it says is lifnei hakaporos. How do I know how many, though? So, in effect, we have two options. We can say, derive the number below from the goat itself, the number above. The number above was one. So the number of blood sprinklings on the lower sprinklings in front of the aron would be also one. Or you can say, let me derive the case of the goat, lower, which is unknown, from the case of the par, lower, which is known. In the posuk by the par, if you go back to posuk Yudalid, it said, lefnei hakaporos yazeh sheva pe'omim, seven times. It's spelled out in posuk Yudalid by the par. So when you have an unknown, you have to derive how many. So in the case of the Sawyer, the unknown was the lower sprinklings. In the case of the cow, what does it say about the upper sprinklings? It says in the pasuk, v'hiza vesbo al pnei hakaporos. It doesn't say how many, though. So again, we have the same dilemma. What is the number of upper in the case of the par? So you can say, well, in the case of the par, the lower number is spelled out, seven. So maybe in the case of the par upper, also seven upper sprinklings. Or you can say the upper of the par shall be derived from the upper by the goat. In the case of the upper of the goat, it was spelled out. It said, visa oisoi, oisoi in the singular. So that would lead me to conclude that the upper in the par is also one. Even though it sounds like we are speaking things out maybe in a somewhat long fashion, our goal here is to introduce what we will see now in the Gemara. So as we continue in the Gemara, We've basically introduced orally everything that we're going to see in the Gemara. And here we have a very long Tanaic source. You can see there are diamonds that figure prominently in this source. And on the side, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have the topic and the structural note. The diamond is a limud, minyan, the number of Matonas Adam, to derive the number of blood sprinklings, halo mefuroshos, those that are not spelled out explicitly. What's not spelled out explicitly? Number one, lamata besoyer. And if you look back at the chart, you can see under the column that says nilmad. Nilmad means derived. It's not explicit. And you look at the goat line, you can see that lamata besoyer is nilmad, is derived. And what else needs to be derived? Lamala bepar, the number of upper sprinklings in the case of the cow. If again, you can look at the chart, you see nilmad. It is something that needs to be derived. We'll also be using a double underline to highlight the expression nira lemidomet, where in the Tanaic source we're going to be asking, well, what is it comparable to? The unknown, we want to compare the unknown to something, and we'll have to see how that's done in the source. Tonu Rabbonan. We count now in the source, v'hiza oisoi al hakaporas v'lifnei hakaporas. This is Vayikro Tezayin, Perek Tezayin, Posuk Tezvov. Again, we have this written on the side of the Gemara as well. And you can see, since it's Posuk Tezvov, it's a reference to the goat. Lomadnu kamo lamala besoyer. This Posuk reveals explicitly how many upper sprinklings are done in the case of the goat. Achas, one. And how do I know that? Because the word oisoi, which appears in the Posuk, indicates one. It's in the singular. Lamata besoyer eini yodea kama. However, I don't know the number of lower sprinklings that are done in the Kodesh HaKodashim opposite the Oron. How many? The number of the lower sprinklings. As we've learned already, and we're just being highly repetitious here, it's obvious, but there's an upper and lower, as the Pasuk indicated, al hakaporos and lifnei hakaporos. Right now, what's unknown is the lamata besoyer, the lower sprinklings in the case of the goat blood offering in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Hareini don. So we will apply logic. Don is to judge or to conclude through logic. Nemru domim lamata bepar v'nemru domim lamata besoyer. We know that there's lower, lamata means underneath, it means lower blood sprinklings in the case of the cow, and there are lower blood sprinklings in the case of the goat. Ma lamata bepar sheva, just like the lower blood sprinklings in the case of the cow, it says explicitly seven, that you can see in Pasuk Yud Dalid. So I'll say the unknown will be derived from that, from the known. Af lamata besoyer is equals sheva, seven. Oy klach l'derech su. And we use the squiggle underline to indicate a transition. This is a transition, means maybe go in this direction. Na'emru domim lamala besoyer, v'na'emru domim lamata besoyer. A blood sprinkling above is stated in the case of the goat, and a blood sprinkling below is stated in the case of the goat. Ma'ala ma'ala besoyer achas, just like the upper is spelled out in the case of the goat, one. Aflamata, so to the lower, which is currently the unknown, will be aflamata besoyer equals achas, shall be one. So here you have two different possible conclusions. If you compare the unknown mata besoyer to the case of the cow, you'll come out with seven. If you compare the unknown lamata besoyer to the other case of soyer itself, you'll come out with just one. Well, nira lemidomet. So let's see what is it more comparable to. Donin mata mimata. Let me conclude the lower of the goat, which is the unknown, from the lower of the cow, which is known as seven. The ain donen mata mi lamala, and I'm not going to conclude a lower sprinkling from an upper sprinkling. They're unlike issues. One's lower, one's upper. So I can't compare unlikes. Adarabba, again, the squiggle on the line, a transition. Maybe donen gufo mi gufo, the ain donen gufo me alma. Let me derive all information internally. In other words, the current unknown is the lower of the goat, but let me derive it from other goat information, the upper of the goat, which is known, and let me conclude one for the lamata besoyer, and I'm not going to conclude gufo mi'alma, means laws of the goat, from alma, from an outside example, namely the cow. So which way to go? Talmud Lomar, here, in order to settle the matter, we look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'osa es domoi ka'asher oso ledam hapar. And you shall do the goat blood as you did the cow blood. She'ein Talmud Lomar ka'asher oso. It's not necessary to say, as you did it. Why does the Torah bother saying that? So what's the goal of the pasuk and say, do the cow, do the goat like you did the cow, when in the Torah, by the goat, it says do an upper and a lower. So why do you have to say, in addition to, after telling me, do upper and lower, by goat, say it says, do it like you did by the cow. So the answer to it is, why I need that extra phrase of kasher also, sheyu kol asiyos of shavois, that all of the goat applications or sprinkling should be equal to the cow. Kishem shelamata bepar equals sheva, kach lamata besoyer equals sheva. Just like in the case of the cow, the lower was seven, so too the lower in the case of the goat shall be seven. In other words, the up till now, the lower of the goat was the unknown. Now, thanks to this pasuk, the kasher also, I know that the lower of the goat shall also be seven, just like the cow. Lamadnu kama lamata bepar ubesoyer. We have just now concluded how many there are lower by the cow and the goat. Sheva, seven. So, as far as lower applications are concerned, by cow and goat, that has now become clear. Both are seven. Lamala bepar enyode kama. What about the upper blood applications in the case of the cow? How many are to be done? And now the Gemara will sound highly repetitious as we go on, and we'll see. Vareini don. So I will apply logic to figure my unknown. What's my unknown right now? Lamala bapar. Nemru domim lamala besoyer, v'nemru domim lamala bapar. The Torah says in Pasuk Tezvov, the upper of the goat, and it spells it out. Oso is at one. So too in Pasuk Yudalid, where it didn't spell out how many are the upper sprinklings of the cow, it will also be one. Mala mala, here the Gemara spells it out. Mala mala besoyer achas, just like the upper in the case of the goat is one, as it says so mefurash explicitly, af lamala bapar equals achas. So too the upper in the case of the cow, which was not stated explicitly, will also be one. And that's a function of logic. We're comparing the unknown, the upper of cow, to the known upper of the goat. Oklach l'derech zu, or maybe go in this other direction. Nemru domim lamata bepar, v'nemru domim lamala bepar. The pasuk says how many are below. In the case of the cow, there are seven. And the Torah says there's an upper amount of blood sprinkling of cow, but that's unknown. Ma lamata bepar sheva, just like the lower by cow is spelled out as seven, af lamala bepar sheva, so to the upper in the case of the cow shall be seven. Well, nira lemidome. At this point, then I have two different paths. How many lamala bepar shall there be? So let's see what lamala bepar is comparable to. Donin mala mimala. Maybe I should compare like directions. Compare upper of cow to upper of goat, which would then lead to one. The ain donin mala mimata, and not compare the upper of cow, which is unknown, from lower of cow. After all, upper is different than lower. They're different directions. Well, adarava, I could tell you to the contrary. Donin gufo mi gufo, vein donin gufo me almo. Matters of cow that are unknown, I shall derive from internal known cow information, and I would conclude, just like lower of cow, which is explicit seven, upper of cow shall also be seven. And I'm not going to derive gufo of cow itself, from an external source, namely goat information. Once again, two directions. Where do I go? How do I conclude things? Talmud Lomar, therefore, we notice the Pasuk in Pasuk Tezvav, V'asa as domoi kasher also. Shein Talmud Lomar kasher also. Why does the Torah spell out, you shall do the goat like you did the cow? Uma Talmud Lomar kasher also. Why does it say that when, after all, it says by goat and by cow, it spells out all the information, upper, lower. So why does it say this? Answer, Shiyu kol asiyosof shavos, that not only do they both have upper and lower, but the numbers shall be the same. Kishem shelamata bepar equals sheva, kach lamata besoyer sheva. Ukishem shelamala besoyer achas, kach lamala bepar achas. We continue in the Gemara. Achas, achas vi achas, achas ushtayim. Here we deal with how the counting took place as the sprinkling was done. On the side, under our nosei heading, we've written Moinin Hazo'ah Rishona im Shar Hazos. The first Hazo'ah, which happens to be the upper Hazo'ah, is recounted in the counting each time. That we saw in the Mishnah, and here we will have a Tanaic stress. There's two Tanaic opinions. There is a slight difference between the two opinions, and what we've done marking wise, we've used a dashed underline, and we've chosen, let's say, a random example to highlight the difference. And that what we just said is noted by the starred note on the side, where we've written the Kivkavnu Rak L'dugma, L'havner Hashoni. We've dashed, underlined just one of the countings to highlight the difference. So before we get into the source itself, let's look at that dashed underlining. In the first dashed underlining, you see it says Achas Ushtayim. It continues Achas V'Sholosh, Achas V'Arba, and that is actually familiar to us from what we saw in the Mishnah. That is Rabbi Meir's approach to counting. In the case of Rebbe Yehuda, his counting will be, it'll sound different. The initial blood is sprinkling is counted in the second position each time. For example, whereas by Rebbe Meir, he would say Achas Ushtayim, he, Rebbe Yehuda, would say Shtayim V'Achas. And Sholosh V'Achas, Arba V'Achas. Let's now turn to the source itself, Tanu Rabbanan. Achas, that's the first sprinkling upwards, and then Achas V'Achas, that's a reference to the second sprinkling. The second sprinkling was just a little bit below the first, the height of the first sprinkling. He repositions his aim to be just a bit lower than the first sprinkling. This, by the way, is what we saw at the very top of this page. It was the end of our previous year. Kemenagdina. That has to do with the sprinkling is done in a descending row. So he continues after the Achas V'Achas. That's essentially the second sprinkling. Achas Ushtayim. This is the third sprinkling. And you could see he reminds us, he mentions that he had done one above, and now Ushtai means this is the second of the lower sprinklings. Achas v'sholosh, achas v'arba, achas v'chomesh, achas v'shesh, achas v'sheva, divrei Rebbe Meir. And finally, he says achas v'sheva, that's the in addition to the first upper sprinkling, this is now the seventh of the lower sprinklings, a total of eight sprinklings. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda's counting reads as follows. Achas, achas, v'achas. So far they're the same. However, here's where the difference begins. Shtayim v'achas. Sholosh v'achas. Arba v'achas. Chomesh v'achas. Shesh v'achas. Sheva v'achas. And the Gemara is quick to point out, v'lo pligi, there's no fundamental argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It's simply a matter of how they count things in their respective locations. Mor ki asrei u'mor ki asrei. Each one ki asrei means as in their community. So Mor, which is a reference to, it's a title of distinction, this Rabbi Meir in his place, as they do in his place, and Rebbe Yehuda as he does in his place. as was the custom to count in their place. So that you would have, let's say, to use a common example, if someone wanted to say 23 years ago, so in one place they would say 23. We say, that's how we speak today, 23. But in the other location, in reference to 23, they would say 3 and 20. And in fact, in poetic license, you find people speaking like that, 3 and 20 years ago. But there are two legitimate forms of counting. And it would appear then that a Kohen Gadol, depending on where he comes from, he would acknowledge each one would acknowledge the first sprinkling in a different position, either at the beginning or at the end. We continue in the Gemara. Hazor Rishoyno Tzricha Minyanim Kolachas Vachas. We skipped a couple words. The Kuli Alma Mihas. Everyone, however, agrees. Both Rabbi Meir and Buda agree. Hazor Rishoyno Tzricha Minyanim Kolachas Vachas. That first sprinkling, which is the upper sprinkling, needs to be recounted with each one of the subsequent seven sprinklings. My timer. What's the basis of that? Why do you have to keep mentioning that first sprinkling? Rebbe Lezer's opinion is shelo ite behazos, so that you don't make a mistake. Rashi says at the side shelo ite. It's a memory technique. Keep mentioning the first one, giving you a chance to pause between sprinklings, so that you forces you to concentrate what number you are holding by. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kral, Rabbi Yochanan says, there's a scriptural reference, Vilifnei HaKaporas Yazeh. Shein Talmud Lomar Yazeh. The word Yazeh would appear to be extraneous. You don't have to, you could just say, Vilifnei HaKaporas. And it's understood that the sprinkling is done in that it's a sprinkling. Why do you need the verb of Yazeh at that point in the Pasuk? So Uma Tamulama Yazeh, what is its role? Limeid al Hazor Rishoyna Shitsricha Minyan im Kol Achas Vachas. It teaches me that the first sprinkling is to be counted with each one of the subsequent sprinklings. My Binai, what's the difference between Rabbi Lozer's approach and Rabbi Yochanan's approach? Iko Binayu. The lo mona velo ta, the nafkamina, the point of difference, or the practical difference between the two approaches is a Kohen Gadol who didn't count the first one with the others, but he didn't make a mistake. According to Rebbe Lozer, the whole point was not to make a mistake. So the ends justifies the means. He didn't make a mistake. No, therefore it's okay that he didn't mention it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Torah expects him to mention it each time. So if he doesn't mention it, so he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah in the proper way. The Mishnah said on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Yotza v'hinichai al kein hazav hasheni shebehechal. Rabbi Yudah Omer, lo hayasham elo kein echad bilvat. The kein was a type of post or platform on which he would place the blood. And we're dealing with cow blood and goat blood. The Mishnah describes the Kohen Gadol leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there are two opinions in the Mishnah. So the first opinion was, he went out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, placed the cow blood on the golden pillar, on the second pillars, or platforms, and then he would take the goat blood. Rabbi Yudah says there was only one cane, only one platform for the blood. So if there was only one platform and he's already holding the cow blood, he has to make a transfer, he'd have to take the goat blood and then put down the cow blood, because only by taking the goat blood is he making room on the singular platform for putting down the cow blood. Tnan Hosam. Now, this issue is going to figure in the. We're going to see how it figures in the upcoming Gemara. But before we do the Gemara itself, we should glance at the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. Lefi Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he mentioned in the Mishnah there was only one cane, only one platform. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Lama lo hayu shofros lekine chova. Why in the Beis HaMikdash treasury were there not shofros? Shofros were literally, it's a shofar. It serves also as a receptacle for holding coins. Why were there no shofros, or coin holding receptacles, lekine chova? People who wanted to bring bird offerings would bring money to the Beis HaMikdash and deposit the money in the Beis HaMikdash, and the money that they deposit would then be drawn from for the purpose of purchasing birds for bird offerings. One form of bird offering is known as kine chova, an obligatory bird offering. When you see the word kine in the context of bird offerings, it's a reference to two birds. In the case of an obligatory bird offering, there are two birds. One is offered as a chatos, and one is offered as an ola. One is a sin offering, and the other bird is an ola offering. This, by the way, is in contrast with kine nedava, voluntary bird offerings, also two, but in that case, both birds are ola offerings. A chatos, as its name implies, is a sin offering. If someone is coming on his own, voluntarily bringing a sacrifice, you don't bring a sin offering in the voluntary form. It's only if one has transgressed something or is Torah obligated, only then does he bring a sin offering. So in the case of the coin receptacles holding money brought for bird offerings, there were no shofros for the kine chova. And we said the kine chova shemurkavos mishnei oifos, echad lechatas ve'echad le'olo. We have an hour note on the side. They were, murkavos means made of or comprising two birds, one a chatas and one an ola. So why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, were there no kine shofros for kine chova benoisuf l'shofros shoyu l'kine nedava? So that even though Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges there were shofros for voluntary bird offerings, money that people would bring and deposit in shofros for voluntary offerings, there was no shofar for the depositing of money on the part of people that needed to bring kine chova. So why this distinction? Why were there shofros only for holding kine nedava funds, and no shofros for holding kine chova funds? As the Gemara unfolds, we will see triangles appearing, introducing two answers, two hesberim, two explanations. As the Gemara opens, as we indicated, it's the focus is on shofros and bird offerings. You're probably wondering what's the connection between shofros and bird offerings, and our Mishnah that describes a machlokas tanoim, and if we want to focus on Rabbi Yehuda saying there was only one post for the for holding the blood. Tanan hasam. Now we turn to the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo hoyu shofros lekine chova. There were no shofros, those are the coin receptacles for obligatory bird offerings. Again, I know that we're sounding a bit repetitious, but these are new ideas for many of you who are listening. So the kine chova are made of, a person is obligated to bring this kind of offering, two birds, one a chatos and one an ola. So why were there no shofros for that? Nei ha ta'aruvos. Because of ta'aruvos. Ta'aruvos literally means mixture or mix up. My mipnei ataruvos. The Gemara itself doesn't know what does that mean. What does that phrase mean? Mipnei ataruvos. Omar Rav Yosef. You'll notice the triangle. He's number one, and the second approach is ways down on Omid Beis, where Rav Dimi appears more than halfway down over there. Omar Rav Yosef mipnei ataruvos chova benedava. Rashi, mipnei taroves chova b'nedava, shemo yischalef shofar b'shofar. The shofar receptacles might get mixed up. V'yakriv mimoi shofar chova nedava. O Michel, nedava chova. If you have two kinds of shofros, I might pull out from monies that were earmarked for chova burnt offerings. I'll pull out cash from there and buy a nedava burnt offering. In other words, I'm using money that's made up of, let's say, chatas slash ola, and buying, with chatas money, I'm buying two ola birds. Or the other way around. Or someone who needs to bring, they want to offer a nedava, or they want to offer a chova, a bird offering, and they'll pull money from a nedava shofar. And Rashi goes on to explain that the chova is made of chatas and ola, whereas the nedava shofar is money earmarked only for purely ola birds. The Gemara asks, Omar Le Abaye. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, V'nevitrei, why not have two shofars? One designated for nedava, and the other for money designated for chova. V'nichtav alayu hei de chova, hei ne nedava. And write on the shofar, nichtov, write out, this shofar has chova money, and this shofar has nedava money. The Gemara responds, and note we have a long answer marking. Rebbe Yehuda, we're continuing at the top of Omid Beis, less like Siva. Rebbe Yehuda does not rely on writing. Rashi at the top, less like Siva, ein soimchen al kach. We can't rely on the fact that you wrote shofar one is for nedava, and shofar two you wrote on it chova. Sometimes a person just doesn't pay attention to that which is written. That's so timeless. How many of us have found ourselves not paying attention to that which is written? And where do we see an illustration of Rebbe Yehuda not relying on this? So the Gemara goes on, and it's all part of a long answer. Disnan. Our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Hoyashom Elokein Echo Bilvad. As far as the platforms for holding the blood, we have goat blood and cow blood. There was only one platform. Trey my time alone. Why were there not in Rabbi Yehuda's conception? Why were there not two? Mishum de Michlefi, because of confusion. In other words, if I had two platforms, I'd have the cow blood put on one, the goat blood put on the other, and when I needed to do, let's say, a goat application, a goat blood sprinkling, I might end up grabbing the cow blood for the sprinkling, and vice versa. So you might say, why not have two podiums, or two platforms, one for the cow, and right on it, this is the cow podium, and right on the other one, this is the goat blood platform. Why not solve the confusion problem with simply writing which is which? Elal Rebuta, less lakes of Xiva. Rebuta simply doesn't hold from writing. He says you can't rely, you can't trust people to read that which is written. The Gemara now asks a question. Note that it's a long question, but we're going to spoil the fun and remove the suspense by simply telling you that we have a long source. The very end of the source, Rebbe Yehuda's name appears, and in the course of this source, we see some dashed underlining. You see in this source, Kosuv Aleim. Notice, before we read the text, this is one of the beauties of Gemara markings. You can see ahead of time by, if you pardon the reference to a bird's eye view, but that's what it is. You see Kosuv, and you see a reference to Rebbe Yehuda. So you see that Rebbe Yehuda relies on Kosovan writing to identify which is which. And here in this source, we'll talk about different shofar, which are coin receptacles, as we mentioned earlier. In fact, there were 13 different shofros in the Beis Hamikdash. And the shofars were used for holding monies that were gathered. There were different money gatherings for different purposes. 13 shofars, you can imagine there are quite a few different purposes involved. We'll see that in the scheme of things, there are 7 different purposes that are used or are needed amongst these 13 different shofros. But the main point is, and that's what we have to focus on, Reb Yehudah does rely on writing. He relies on people to read what is written. And if that's the case, so then our basic question comes back. Why doesn't he have 2 platforms for holding the blood in the Beis Hamikdash? So the Gemara will answer. You can see the next triangle, Kiyosa Rav Dimi, Omar, and we'll get to that second approach. We have to mention, we have to just remind you that when we speak about Reb Yehudah and what's the question, we're going to really be going back to the topic of the Kine Chova Kine Nedova. Why doesn't he have a shofar for the Kine Chova? If you're going to say, because he doesn't rely, and why doesn't he have it, just have 2 shofros and write, this is for Nedova, this is for Chova, that should have been a solution. So to say that he doesn't rely on writing, we're going to see very shortly, because after our long question, he does rely on writing. So the question is going to come back, what does Mipnei HaTa'aruvos mean in the source in which Reb Yehudah said that they didn't have 2 different types of shofros, kine chova, kine nedova? Why not? What does Mipnei HaTa'aruvos mean? Okay, we'll have to wait to get to Rav Dimi shortly. In the meantime, we continue in our Gemara, Meisvei, the end of the 5th line from the top. Long question. Shlosh Yisrei Shofar Soyeb Mikdash. There were 13 shofar coin receptacles in the Beis Hamikdash. V'hoyah Kosuv Alein, and the following titles or labels were written on them. So first, the source lists off 7 different titles, and then in the second part of the source, it is explained. So first we read Taklin Chadetin. Taklin, by the way, is shekel. You can see in Aramaic the tuf will interchange with the shin in Hebrew, so Taklin is like shkolim. Taklin Chadetin. And here also the Aramaic word Chadetin, the shin and the tuf interchange. The tuf becomes a shin. Chadoshin. Chadoshin means new. The new coins, newly collected coins, the Taklin Atikin, the old ones, the Kenin, the Gozle Oila. Gozle is a reference to birds. The Eitzim, Ulavona, the Zohav, the Kapores, the Shisha, Linadova. Now they are explained. Truth be told, we don't have to dwell on the details here. We're in Gemara markings, as you know. We try to emphasize the structure of the Gemara so you keep track of the main sugya and not get sidetracked on the details. But that having been said, the source says Taklin Chadetin Elu Shkolim Shel Kol Shana V'Shana. That's a reference to the standard shekel collection that took place every year in the month of Adar in anticipation of the new fiscal, the Beis Hamikdash fiscal year starting in Nisan. So all the funds that were collected that year for the upcoming new year from Adar is the last month of the old year, and it was then that money was collected for the beginning of Nisan for the new year. So those are the, we'll call the newly collected funds, were put in the shofar marked Taklin Chadetin. Taklin Atikin, what is that? Mishalo Shokal Eshtokeh Yishkoil Lishona Habo. Someone who missed out, didn't contribute the shekel tax, the Machsis HaShekel, he is to, it's a half shekel, universal annual tax. If he didn't contribute to that in his in the previous year, so he has, there's a makeup contribution, and that's put into the shofar marked Taklin Atikin. Kinin Hain Torin. That's for the purchase of Torin. Torin, there are two kinds of kosher birds for, kosher means kosher in the context of suitable, eligible for sacrificial purposes. One is called Torin, the other is called Bnei Yonah. So the shofar marked Torin, marked Kinin, they would buy Torin birds. Gozle Ola Hain Bnei Yonah. That was a shofar marked for the purpose of buying Bnei Yonah type birds. Fekulon Oilois. Now, all the birds were Ola, and that indicates they were all Nedava. And in the counting of the shofros, so six of the shofros were for Nedava purposes. There's a Rashi, Kulon Olos, and the Rashi you'll see on the lower part of the narrow lines. Reb Yehuda Letame, this is Reb Yehuda consistent with his opinion. Domer lo hoyu shofros l'kinei chova. There were no shofar coin receptacles for obligatory bird offerings, which were made of a combination of one bird chatos and one bird ola. Rashi goes on giving you the details. Those of you who are interested in more detail, so by all means go through the Rashi. The main purpose, once again, it's Gemara markings rising to the occasion. We see here Kosuv. We see Reb Yehuda Shita. It's Reb Yehuda relies on things being written out. And if he relies on things being written out, this restores, returns us to the original question. Why was there no shofar for Kinei Chova? And if the fear was you're going to draw from the Kinei Chova shofar money to buy a Kinei Nedava, why not just write on the Kinei Chova shofar, this is designated for Chova bird offerings, the other designated for Nedava bird offerings? Why did the source say, according to Reb Yehuda that we saw on the bottom of Omen Aleph, that there were no shofars for Kinei Chova, but they had taruvos? What's the taruvos? So the Gemara continues. Kiyosu Ravdimi Omar. He comes and explains what does mitnei ha-taruvos mean. Amri b'marova. They say in Marova, in Eretz Yisrael, Gzeira mishum chatos shemesu baleha. Now the double underlining here represents stages in trying to understand Rav Dimi's answer. So they explain, Mishum Chatos Shemesu Bala, because of the concern of an owner of a Chatos, and the shofar that would be marked with Kinei Chova, is money there is used for buying a Chatos, as well as the Ola. Now there's a rule concerning Chatos offerings. If the owner dies, so the money, or the if it's an animal that's set aside, is rendered unfit. You don't offer a sin offering for an owner that's no longer alive. We look in the Rashi, the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Gezeira Mishum Chatos Shemes Baleah, Shemo meis echad min abaylim shenosnu mos b'shofar. You have a coin shofar receptacle with lots of coins in there. So one of the owners, one of the people contributed funds, one of them might have died. V'kevon diyesh bo chatois, and since amongst the monies there's money earmarked for sin offerings and bird sin offerings, havi luhu mois chatos shemesu baleah. You have cash of earmarked for a sin offering whose owner died. The Hainhoch Siyama Melach, the destination of such cash is the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. In other words, the money is disqualified and it's put out of circulation into the Dead Sea. Venimtsu Muravois Imaksheros U Poslos Oison. And then under such circumstances you've got Chatos funds mixed together with Ola funds, and you don't know which is which, and one will render the other unfit. So you have Chata Shemesu Bleo funds in there, mixed with the other, and they're all will be rendered unfit, because I may be, the money that I take at this point, that I draw from there, is from an owner who's no longer alive. V'hainu neha tarovas, and that's what we mean by a mix-up. It's all jumbled together. The Gemara asks, Umit Chayshinon, do we really concern ourselves? Do we worry about that? V'otnan, we have the following source, and it says, Hashaleach hatosu mibinas hayam. Someone who had sinned, and he is obligated to bring a sin offering. He can send his sin offering from overseas. Makrivenoi said, "Becheskas shul kayom." It is offered, assuming a live status of the owner. Now we dashed on a shul kayom. We're assuming he's alive. So why are you bringing in? Why are you interjecting the concern of Chatish Mesa Bela when it's a non-starter? It's not something we bother with. Ella, so once again, the question is, why is there no shofar for Kinei Chova? What does Mitnei HaTarofes mean? Ella, second stage, Ella Mishum, Chatos Shemesu Baleo Vadai. Up till now, we were speaking about the suspicion, maybe the owner of one of the Chatos died. Okay, true, that is not a concern. But what would be a concern is where we've collected monies, included in the monies are Chatos funds, and we know one of the contributors died. So you have definite unfit cash in this shofar, and it'll render all the rest of the coins unfit because I don't know which is which now. The Gemara asks, why should that really bother us though? V'nivor arba zuzi. Why not draw a couple coins, v'nishti b'maya, and throw those randomly chosen coins, and I will declare that the coins I drew out of the shofar, these are the coins of the owner that died. V'hanoch nishtru, and all the rest will remain mutter. Nishtru, shari mean allowed. Why isn't that a way to solve even the problem of a known death on the part of one of the owners? The Gemara answers, Rebbe Yehuda less lay breira. Breira is this is what we just illustrated. And the word just in the line before, v'nivror, is the same root of the word breira. It means that it has to do with choosing and then declaring that which I chose was that which was owned by the person who is deceased. Many times you find the word breira in the context of a retroactive determination. In this case, it's also along those lines, where retroactively, after I've drawn the money out of the shofar, I will tell you this money is money that was contributed by the man who died. So that having been done, the rest of the money would be okay. However, why is that not a solution? Why cannot we allow a shofar of Kinei Chova to be prepared, even according to Rav Yehuda? Because Rav Yehuda less labor, Rav Yehuda does not rely on this method of solving problems. He does not rely on breira. You'll notice we have a bracketed section, and this bracket is very long daf-wise, even though if you see daf nun vav lamed aleph is actually a very short daf. It's only two lines. It's one of the rare short dafim in the Shas. Find another one like this in Maseches Bava Kama. If I'm not mistaken, it might be on daf ayin zayin, but you can check out and see if that's really true. But there is another one or two of these very short dafim in the Shas. Of course, in addition to daf lamed gimel and beis in Maseches Nozir, where there is no Gemara whatsoever. Those who are interested in trivia, that certainly rates high on the trivia scale. That having been said, though, you'll see that we have this very long bracketed section. And this then is the answer. The answer was, why does Rabbi Yehuda not have kinei chova shofar? This is the answer, because Rabbi Yehuda less lay brera. And the problem of having a kinei chova shofar would be in the case after all the money was contributed, and I discover one of the contributors died. Amongst the money then is that particular person's chatos bird contribution. The owner just is now dead. I don't know where his money is. So the mixture of this unfit of these unfit of his unfit coins, the cash that was that would have been used to buy his chatos, a bird, is mixed with all the other cash there, and it's like in the case of kashers, for example, you have something that's unkosher, that's mixed, one piece of unkosher mixed in with a lot of pieces of kosher, so it'll ruin the whole pot. So to over here, the unkosher money, so this, because the owner died, and it is unfit, as we explained before, will render all the rest of the money unfit, so better not to set up a receptacle holding so much cash in the first place. As we said, the role of the Gemara now is to prove that point, namely that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold from Brera. If you have the ability or the wherewithal to scroll ahead or turn ahead to Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, where the brackets ends, the Gemara asks a question that ties everything together, because up till now we were kind of focusing on the explanation of Mitnei HaTarovus by the lack of Rabbi Yehuda's Kinei Chova Shofar. We also had mentioned Rabbi Yehuda's Shita concerning the podium or the platforms for holding the blood. He only had one platform. The Gemara there on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis asks, right after the brackets, a third of the way down from the top, V'hasha Damrinan, now that we will have concluded Rabbi Yehuda Ein Breira, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from retroactive clarification, Ha Ksiva Islay, but he does hold from writing, from relying on that which is written. If he holds from relying on that which is written, then Yom HaKippurim Nami, when it comes to the issues of the blood platforms, Nevid Trei V'Nichtav Alayu, why not have two separate platforms? One for holding the cow blood and one for holding the goat blood, and write on it. This is the cow platform and this is the goat blood platform. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda do that? And the Gemara will answer, Mishum Chulsha, the Kohen Gadol, Lavadaita, because the Kohen Gadol, it's Yom Kippur, and Chulsha means he's weak, he isn't going to be concentrating on that which is written. So under those circumstances, because of this extraneous consideration of Chulsha, the Kohen Gadol, there he won't rely on the writing. Of course, you can see we've spilled over the Daf Yomi setup. So here we back up on Nun Hamid Beis, close to the bottom. This would be a somewhat convenient location for stopping, even though you can see we're really in the middle of a sugya, but we want to preserve the Daf Yomi structure. So before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.